Okay, so one of the things we talked about several weeks back was the fact that we need to be vulnerable, right? Sometimes we need to actually kind of state something. I'm going to be vulnerable with you this morning, more so because if I look or act strange, there's that way you know there's a reason. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Most of you know that I look and act strange normally, but if I look even more abnormally strange or even just like overly comfortable, I do kind of have a reason. I thought I'd be totally past this and it wouldn't come up at all. I did have to have just a few days ago a hernia repair where I now I'm not moving quite as fast as I want to move. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear something that's comfortable. And of course, then if I cough and I kind of double over or something, I want you guys to know why. So there, I'm being vulnerable. It's kind of weird, I know. I just thought, you know, within like 12 hours after you something like that, you should be back to normal, right? Yeah, that didn't quite work that way. But so if I have to pause or something for a moment, or as Misty's saying with the kind of medications and stuff, I've been saying all sorts of things that don't make sense. And so she's a little concerned about my Bible study this morning. I guess maybe I am too, so bear with me. Correct me if I say something I shouldn't be saying here, but hopefully I'll remember this after the fact. Please keep that in mind. This is our last class for this session on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you for not applauding that, but we are going to try to wrap it up. There's a lot to get through. We've spent a lot of time on some of these studies that I thought would go faster, but that's absolutely fine that we've spent time on them. We're going to hit the few of the things that I know I want to complete with what we have been looking at, but I also want to make sure we kind of get to the end of the chapter, because the end of the chapter is amazing, and I think all of you know that. But we'll be able to talk about it. So we've been talking about what love chooses to do. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so we've talked about in bearing all things, and I guess we've talked about this in relation to how do we deal with each other as Christians? How do we live with each other? How do we work and play with each other? How do we exist with each other as Christians if we are 1 Corinthians 13 Christians? And so from a love bearing all things, we talked about protecting each other and making sure that we all know what the truth is and protect each other using God's word and each other to make sure that we don't fall into sin, and that we're protected from the consequences of sin. Not that sin won't happen, but that we are striving to help each other stay away from sin. And then we talked about love believing all things, or the fact that we need to trust each other. We need to be able to know that we are sincere. We need to be vulnerable with each other. We need to admit when we all struggle and know that we all struggle with things, and that we can struggle together and we can be stronger because we know that others right around us, even within these pews, are maybe dealing with some of the same things that we might be dealing with. So we talk about belief, believing all things and trusting each other. So as we continue on and think, what would the church be like if every member was a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian? The church would be a church that encourages one another. So in verse 7, it talks about love hoping all things. So hope is a desire, right? But we got to make sure we know what hope means. I was hoping that yesterday the University of Oklahoma would beat Ole Miss, but I had no confident expectation in that. I did not think it was going to happen. It was kind of like, oh, that'd be nice. That's not what we're talking about here. When we talk about hope from a Christian standpoint, yes, hope is a desire, but it's not a coin flip. It's not a, I wonder if. Hope is a desire. It is a confident expectation. So Let's look actually at Romans chapter 8, verse 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." You're anticipating it. You're eagerly waiting on it. You expect something to happen. That's what hope is when we're a Christian. And when we think about an everlasting home with our God in heaven and with Jesus, that is what we can have, is a confident expectation. We can know, we can be certain, but we still have that hope, that desire. But it's not a, I hope I, you know, is it heads or tails? Am I going to get there? Am I going to not? We can have that confident expectation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. "We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command of you." So if you look here, what this is talking about, or what this is looking at in this verse, is encouragement, right? Look at what it says there again. It says, "We have confidence in the Lord encouraging you." So being a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian, we should be people that are encouraging each other. When it comes to hope and thinking about hope and our relationship with each other, we have a desire and an expectation in each other, right? Not just in what our status is as far as our home in heaven and our life with God and our relationship with God, but in each other. I should have a desire and an expectation that you and everyone around us as Christians are also going to live a Christian life and be together in heaven. And so what better way to try to help do that with each other than to encourage each other? Probably every one of us have been encouraged at some point. And it's pretty easy to know what just a small word of encouragement can do for your confidence in something or for your ability to do something. You might even be thinking about something now, just one small word. Maybe someone wasn't even thinking about, oh, I need to go say something encouraging to this person, but something they said encouraged you to be able to do whatever it is you were going to be able to do. Or just on purpose, are we going to people? Are we talking to people in an encouraging way from God's word? Or something that we know somebody's going to be going through, that we just say something positive, something encouraging. We send a note. I know so many of you write notes, write letters, send a text. Just encouragement. It's huge, isn't it? It's huge, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. Some people think, oh, what can I do? A word of encouragement? Everyone can do, whether spoken, whether written, whatever it might be. Encouraging each other is huge. There was a man, his name was Stan Cantrell. He was a long-distance runner, and as weird as this might sound, he ran across China. Ran across China. So, during this time, you know, whether it was bleeding feet, torrential rain, he actually had a cracked vertebrae during part of this time that he was running across China, but he kept running. And he was actually, when they were talking to him, he was tempted to quit several times. But as he was, there were people that said, well, wait, you can't do that because there's a village coming up. And they're so looking forward to just seeing you run through. And because of that, he kept going. Just a small word of encouragement kept him going. Now, you might have said, hey, you're crazy. What are you doing? Because, I mean, he ran over 2,000 miles. Over 2,000 miles, 53 consecutive days. What keeps you doing that? In many cases, it was encouragement. Encouragement is huge. And that's what love offers, a word of encouragement, a vote of confidence, a genuine interest in someone's life, however big or small it might be. That's what a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian should be, and that's what we should be. There are many ways, I'm not going to go through, knowing that we've got a lot of time, there are a lot of things that we need to get through this morning, but there are a lot of ways to encourage each other. I talked about just how we can with our words. Through God's word, we should also be encouraging each other, and I don't mean to exclude that in what I say, but just our little words, we can absolutely encourage someone with a verse, sending a verse from God's word, etc. But there's so many ways that we can encourage each other from God's word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're not going to go through all these, but we learn how we can encourage each other through instruction, through edification, trying to help improve each other, through exhortation, or in other words, a strong encouragement or an urge to do something. I exhort you, brother. And you think about some of those verses. You're encouraging or promoting or urging someone to do something, whether that is, prayer, service, staying with God's word, respect for authority, whatever it might be, those exhortations. And then also, comfort. We can encourage each other through comfort. You know, there's been a lot of people in this congregation that deal with loss, and the comfort that we can have and the encouragement from each other and the support that we can have from each other is something that only I think we can truly understand the peace if we are God's children and Christians. So, if every member of God's church and of this congregation was a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian, the church, it would be a church that encourages one another. It would also be a church that gets along with one another. This is an easy one, right? Get along with everybody. It's easy to do that. Have you ever had that neighbor? You know what I'm talking about. That neighbor. The difficult one. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had someone that's just extremely, maybe it's not the neighbor, maybe it's just someone that you have a difficult time getting along with. Keep your head straight. Don't look to your side right now. Sometimes it's difficult to get along with each other, but 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says, love endures all things. It doesn't say love puts up with. It doesn't say love tolerates. It doesn't put it in a negative way. And so there's been, there's conjecture into what could this all mean. But there is the suggestion of there's this idea that enduring implies transforming something that could be viewed as a burden into something that's actually a blessing. So we can look at a couple of examples of that from Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. It says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, and according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. So talk about taking something and enduring it and changing it into something that could be viewed as a burden into something that's a blessing. It's exactly what Paul was doing. He was turning difficulty into a blessing, looking for the good, looking at the good, the bigger picture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Sorry, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. verses 12 through 14. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in this cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Great examples of turning difficulty into blessing and viewing what is our role here. And when we think about each other, when we think about how we treat each other, and the fact of the matter is, being human, there are people that we do get along with better than others. There are people that are going to annoy us more than others. I shouldn't say more than others. That makes it appear that everybody annoys us. There are people that might, on occasion, annoy us. There are people that are harder to get along with. There are some people that you think, wow, what really drives them is being miserable. Have you ever been around those people? But that doesn't mean that we treat them in a retaliatory way. We are to keep peace. We are to love. We are to get along with one another. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. The fact of the matter is, if we are striving, each of us, if we are striving to live for God, we must remember that God loves every single one of us and loves every single one of our souls. And we're all in this together to live together in heaven eternally with Him. And for us to not get along and live peacefully with each other is honestly just inexcusable. It doesn't make sense. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. The comment being ultimately, if I try to summarize it, is that there are things that happen in our lives that we might think, wow, why is this so difficult? Or why are they being so difficult in this context? And I just can't get along with them. Well, there could be things that God is putting in our lives so that we become stronger. Difficulties. Because to your point, if everything in our lives, always we have this view of, well, I live for God and therefore everything in my life should be just great, we would probably forget about God. Because we would think, well, I got this covered. And maybe we'll remember to thank God, but I think I got this. Everything's great. But it's those times that are difficult, those times that are struggles, where we can see maybe where our weaknesses are. And where we need to work on it, where we need to keep our trust in God. And, you know, there are things that I've even learned just in the last couple of years, more than ever, that I thought, you know, I've got this figured out. It won't, you know, that happens to other people. That won't happen to me. That won't happen to my family. And I got put in my place. And I'm trying to learn because of that, that I need to think about what we've talked about this whole time, that I can't just automatically assume that someone else is, well, they must not be doing things right. I've got it all figured out. I don't. We don't. And we need things in our lives to help us grow as Christians. We need each other. And we need to live peaceably with each other. Because if we're living peaceably with each other, it might be that person that you think, well, I don't get along with that well. that's going through the same thing now that you went through the same thing that you're now going through, and then there's all of a sudden a bond that you can help each other get through. And love can completely change your relationship. So, thank you for the comment. The other thing that I think about, too, is the fact that, you know, God talks about in several places in His Word about how we must realize that we can't do everything on our own if we're truly going to follow Him. Because if we think we can do it on our own, that's not following God. That's not following God. Okay, let's keep moving. I want to make sure we don't miss. Yes. Love covers a multitude of sins, absolutely. And we need to be there for each other to help with each other. Yes, Gary. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Yeah. As for my part, let there be peace. You know, somebody else might say, you know what, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. But as for my part, we can live at peace. So let's let it begin with us. All right, so as we conclude this portion of it, and I'm going to have to conclude it and keep going, I want to make sure I get to some things. Ultimately, if we are doing what we read about in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, we are going to be a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian that cares for each other, trusts each other, encourages each other, and get along with each other. So let's transition kind of to the end of this chapter. Love never fails. You could kind of almost just leave it there. Love never fails. But we're not going to leave it there. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. Love is, it's a way of life. It should be a way of life. Something that we live every day. If you look at the last verse before chapter 13. So, another way of putting that, I guess, chapter 12, verse 31. The last verse before, and I guess I need to get over there. It says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. And then he goes into love. So, we've talked about this. Love is a more excellent way. It stands out. Then you look at the first verse after chapter 13. First two words, what does it say? It says, pursue love. And that literally means to run with haste after. So the last verse before the love chapter says that love is a more excellent way. First verse after says, pursue it diligently, exhaustively, zealously, run after love. But why? Why love? Chapter 13, toward the end of it, basically answers those questions. Let's look at verses 8 through 13. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. But now, faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is eternal. Love will always be. Love never fails. When we think about the spiritual gifts that the first century Christians were endowed with, what's talked about in these three chapters, chapter 12, chapter 13 and chapter 14. Chapter 12 is an explanation of spiritual gifts. Chapter 13 explains the expiration of those gifts, the fact that those gifts are going to go away. Chapter 14 actually explains the execution of those gifts. So when we think about that, chapter 13 teaches us why love should always be on top of their priority list, and for us today, why love should still be on the top of our priority list. So we look at chapter 13, verse 8, and this is a little bit gets into what, and I very much appreciate the study that Richard had last week talking about miracles. I won't have to go into as much detail because you can save your questions for him here in a few weeks. But let's be very clear. It doesn't matter what any, quote, religious person says today. Let's listen to what God's word says regarding spiritual gifts, regarding miracles, and that sort of thing. The abilities that were given and that are talked about in chapter 12, 13, and 14, those were abilities that were given to first century Christians through the laying on hands of apostles. Or apostles could do it. Jesus obviously performed miracles. Apostles performed miracles. And those Christians where the apostles had laid hands on them and they were used. Those miracles, those things, and there's a whole list of them that we're not going to get into all that, but those things were confirming what those people were talking about. They were confirming the word of God that was coming, the gospel that was coming, the New Testament was coming, because at that time they didn't have the book that you're holding. So it confirmed them as the people bringing the message, and it confirmed the message they were bringing. I think that's what Richard talked about a little bit last week. But what does he say in verse 8? Those things will be done away. Those gifts, the ability to speak in other languages, the ability to interpret in other languages, those spiritual gifts that they had to confirm what they were saying during that time were going to go away. And so you notice that it says many times, in part, those were in part. And now what do we have? We have the perfect, the complete, the full Word of God in front of us. And those spiritual gifts are no longer in place today. But love is different. Love is different. Love never fails. Miracles were ushered away, but the love of a Christian, Christianity, love will always be front and center. God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for us. It was all about love. God loves us even when we don't deserve love. And so, when you look at the verse before where it says that before chapter 13, there's a more excellent way and it's love. If you look at the first verse after in chapter 13 that says exhaustively pursue love, we can understand why. Our love flows in a lot of directions. Sorry, I didn't click soon enough. Our love flows in a lot of different directions. It flows toward God. It flows toward Jesus. We are to love, and I'm not going to go through all these verses because I don't think we have time right now. But you can see how love is everywhere, should be everywhere as a Christian. The love of God's word and the truth, loving each other, loving the church, loving our families, loving our fellow man. Everything we've talked about over the last few weeks, it all still comes back to how we love, how we treat each other. How do we act? How do we think? How do we live our lives? So love is fundamental. At the very end, chapter 13, it says, but now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So, by describing the greatest of these three? Paul is indirectly attesting for the greatness of faith and hope as well, right? The greatest of these is love, which means these other two things are pretty great. So let's not discount that. Let's talk about that. Faith is great. Love is greater, but faith is great. Faith is fundamental. If we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, 6 and 7, maybe even 6, 7, and 8, we see that faith is fundamental, and without it, we simply can't please God. It says that very beginning of verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And then a couple of examples here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God about things not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeying by going out to a place where which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You notice something about this? Faith, it is impossible to please him without faith, and that it requires obedience. So faith is an active obedience. And without it, we can't please God. So faith is great. But love is greater. Love is what motivates us to obey. Love is what motivates us to trust in God, to obey God, to actively obey God, because we love God. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love should motivate us to obey God and to have faith, an obedient faith. Hope. Hope is great. Love is greater. We talked a little bit about hope being that confident expectation, right? It's not a coin flip. It's not a, I just don't know which way it's going to go. If we are living for God, striving in our lives to live for God, knowing that we still make mistakes, knowing that we still mess up, but if we are striving to live for God, we have and should have confidence in where we will live eternally. It's not a coin flip. We have that hope, that desire, that confident expectation in the second coming of Jesus, in eternal life, in the joys of heaven. And we can see this very simply in the Word, that, you know, that we can have that confidence. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So again, we see what we just talked about. Without love, there's no obedience. And this just says, if you love God, you will keep his commandments. So without love, there is no obedience. Without obedience, we don't have hope. So I'm wanting to link these together. Without obedience, we don't have hope. If we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. "And to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord will be revealed from heaven and his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." So without that obedience, we don't have the relief. We don't have the hope that is talked about here. But with love, there's obedience. With obedience, there is hope. But it says the greatest of these is love. So if we think about this, one way I thought about it kind of for a lot of years now, when we think about faith, we think about faith being a belief in something that we don't necessarily see. We can see the results of, but we don't necessarily see everything. Think about Hebrews chapter 11, and the faith that others had, the reason that they had obedience, but you don't see everything. And the fact that love is greater. I think about the fact that when Jesus returns and we're with him in heaven, at that point, we're going to see. It's going to be reality, right? We won't need to have that faith in something that is unseen, even though we know it's true, because it's now reality, right? Hope. That confident expectation, that desire. When we're there and it's happening, we don't have to have hope anymore, do we? Because we're there. We're experiencing it. So we don't have to have that expectation because here it is. And won't that be glorious? But love, that's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13 again. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. We need to exhaustively pursue love, even when it's not easy. It needs to be a way of life. It needs to stand out. And I think all of us know this. People can see love in your life sometimes without you ever saying a word. Christians, a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian, we should stand out, not in a boastful way, just in the way we live our lives, in the words we say, in the actions we take, how we treat each other, how we deal with people that are difficult. It will be noticed. And it can bring someone else to God. And for those that we love, that know what the love of God is and have left, it can bring those people back too. Maybe not exactly when we want it to happen, but we can't give up and we can't compromise on God's truth, because God's love directs us how we are to handle things. So let's not take it into our own hands. Let's listen to what God says. With God, with his love in our hearts, we can do things, and we talked about this, that the world can't. We can handle things that the world can't. We can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's a peace that, you know, you can't describe. The world will never figure it out unless they become one of his children. And don't we want that? Wouldn't you want everyone to know the peace that we have? That's a 1 Corinthians 13. That's the power of God's love. So with how we treat each other, inside these walls, outside these walls, with how we treat fellow man, mankind, the love that we should have for every single soul that we come in contact with, that's a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian. Not easy, but with God, we can handle anything that comes our way. and we can become stronger in those things that are difficult things in our lives that we need to look at as a blessing, not a difficulty, but look at as a blessing so that we can become stronger, again, whether that's to help others or whether it's just to become stronger in our own faith toward God. Any final comments in our last minute here? All right. Well, thank you very much for the time over the last several weeks. Thanks again, Richard, for filling in for me last week. And it's great to have you guys be a part of this. Appreciate it.